Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
And it will be on your screen for your convenience. The Word of God says, "For our God is a consuming fire." Our God is a consuming fire. Let's ask God's blessings upon this word. Father, we love you. We're so thankful for the reading of your word. We ask that this word will go forth in power and demonstration of your spirit, a powerful seed planted in good ground to bring forth much fruit. And Father, we give you all the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen and amen. High five your neighbor and tell him, "Hey neighbor, you look beautiful today. You look beautiful today." You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Our God is a consuming fire. I truly believe that. There's no doubt about what's happening in these last days with the tests and the trials that we're all in. The fire is coming, and the fire will test us. That's all I have to say. The fire is coming, and the fire will test us. That's so important, crucial for us to understand. I was thinking about how 1 Samuel in chapter 2 and verse 7, how the Word of God says, and it'll be on your screen, where it says, "The Lord maketh poor and he maketh rich, he bringeth low and he lifts up." So basically, that's just simply telling us that God, he's in control of everything. There's those that are in poverty. There's those that are just so wealthy beyond our imagination. But then there are those that are brought up. God exalts them and promotes them and blesses them. And then there are also those that God just humbles and just brings low. And he says, "Hey, you know." And we find ourselves in that process at times. Whether we're an individual, whether it's our family, whether we are collectively an organization, whatever it may be, we find ourselves going up and down sometimes in life. I'm going to share with you a story about a man. Some of you may know who he was or who he is. Remarkable story. In 1996, this bicyclist, his name is Lance Armstrong. How many has ever heard of Lance Armstrong? Lance Armstrong, in 1996, he was as feeble as they come. An aggressive form of testicular cancer had metastasized in his lymph nodes, and then it spread to his lungs, and then it spread to his brain. The life of this world's top-rated cyclist is in danger. Many know what takes place with cancer. And the interesting thing was, he's only 25 years old, awfully young, to have faced such horrible things in his body. But after two surgeries and four rounds of chemotherapy, Lance was cancer-free. He formed the Lance Armstrong Foundation to raise money for cancer research, and he began to start training. He began to cycle again, training for his competitions. 10 years later, now he's 35. 10 years later, Lance was on the top of the world. His autobiography was a bestseller. He had won the Tour de France 7 times in a row. I remember watching that and just couldn't believe he won again. This is 7 times in a row. His foundation, his Lance Armstrong Foundation, it had raised over $30 million per year. And his name had become synonymous with overcoming adversity and success. And then it all came crashing down. 1 year later, after Lance retired, the United States Anti-Doping Agency formally charged him with doping and trafficking performance-enhanced drugs. He was stripped of his Tour de France wins, all 7 of them. He lost all his corporate sponsors. You're talking about millions upon millions and millions of dollars. And his public reputation was ruined. All because Lance thought to himself, it was all about the bike. It's what it was. He was willing to do anything, risk everything for the bicycle. When When the mighty forget their dependence on God, their bows are broken. When the feeble depend on God, they get all the strength they need from the source of unending strength. We are entering a time that our faith will be tested by fire. Truly believe that. You know, and it's a funny picture, and I posted it, and we saw the two kittens that were on the stump and saying, Noah's going to pick us up in 10 minutes. And you think how this world could have been underwater in a flood. And then God promises that this water, that he won't flood the earth again. But then you read scripture in the Old Testament, you read scripture in the New Testament, and you see that there is a time when fire is going to ravage in this entire world. We think of the fires that took place in L.A., we think of the fires that took place in other places like North Carolina. Think of the fires that have been just ravaging around in Oklahoma here just months ago, weeks ago. But nothing will be compared to the fires that we go through. And I'm going to explain myself. How many true believers do we have here today? I want you to identify yourself. Raise your hand if you are a true believer. That's pretty much 100% of us, isn't it? But let me ask you this question. What, if anything, do you find unbelievable? Think about this question. Is there any scripture? Is there any thought? Is there any philosophical idea or theology that you find hard to believe? Is there anything in this book right here that you read and you say, a man was swallowed by a whale, or a man was walking on the water, or there were kinfolk that were seen the day Jesus was resurrected? They were walking around, they were dead, but now they're walking around in Jerusalem. Is there anything that you look in Scripture, or maybe you've heard me say, or others that taught, or just in life in general, that you find hard to believe? I agree with you. There are things that are easy to believe, and then there are things that are very difficult to believe. You've heard people say, don't believe everything you read or see on the internet, right? You've heard people say, don't believe everything you hear on the news. We're at a time when there's so much, these videos that people share, and Levi was talking to me yesterday about it during Macy's little birthday party, and he was explaining to me, you know, they have this deep fake stuff that are videos, and it looks so real, but it's AI, it's artificial, it's not real at all, and people are buying it and sharing. I think I've even been fooled. It's almost to the time, almost to the place where we're realizing that there is so much deception. There's so much, and the Bible talks about it being strong delusion that is happening in our world, that you just don't even know what's real and what's fake, what's true, what's false. And so with all the deception in the world, it can be rather challenging, amen, to find someone or something to believe in. But you know, I want to explain something to you. This dilemma that we're facing is nothing new to God. In fact, it was nothing new to the first believers. They even dealt with the struggle to believe, Sister Haley. The disciples dealt with the struggle to believe. I want to show you a scripture in the book of Luke, chapter 22 and verse 31. This is Jesus talking, and Jesus said, be on your screen. He says, Simon, Simon, he's talking to Peter, and he says, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and into death. And Jesus said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou hast thrice or three times you have denied me. Isn't that amazing? So that's telling me something right there. What could be the, and think about the life of Peter, who walked with Jesus, who saw the miraculous, who was even in the core group on the Mount of Transfiguration and was ready to build the tents that day. He says, it's good for us to be here. You got Moses, you got Jesus, we're here together. Let's build. And Jesus basically rebukes him then and says, just be quiet and listen to what God is saying right now. But think about this. What could be the greatest threat then to our belief system? What could be the greatest threat right now? You have Jesus approaching the disciples, and the disciples like, yeah, we're going to go with you. Yeah, we're going to do these things with you. Not one of them stood around. Just the women that hung around when Jesus was on the cross. Isn't that amazing? Those men who walked weren't even around. What could it be? What is the greatest threat to our belief system? Is there any one element that weakens our faith or the faith of others? What could it be? Now, I want you to hold on to it, but I'm going to share something with you that's going to help us. It's on your screen. I want to show a quote that Brennan Manning wrote. He said, the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, walk out of the door, and deny him by their lifestyle. I want you to see that right now, because that is so powerful. Look at that. Read it again. Just keep reading it. It is so important to understand. We're talking about our belief system. We're talking about our faith in God. We're talking about, hey, yeah, I'm going to stick with Jesus no matter what. But could it be this simple? You know, we are so quick. You can come back to me, Caleb. We're so quick to give the devil credit for our lack of faith when it never was the devil, but it was a decision. And we look at that scripture and we say, well, you know, it said right there that Jesus is telling you got to watch out for Satan because he's sifting you as wheat. He's trying to tempt you and deceive you. He's trying to steal your faith and rock you. You know, I believe the greatest threat to our faith in God, the greatest threat to our belief system, the greatest threat is our lifestyle. It is not the devil. It's our lifestyle. Look at Luke 22, and this is what he says. And we miss it. We read it too fast. But in verse 32, and it'll be on your screen, he says, but Jesus says, I have prayed for you, Peter, that your faith fail not. And look at the next part. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. In other words, he says, I'm praying that your faith fail not, but when your lifestyle lines up to my word, when you truly are living out the word of God, that you're not just being a hearer of the word, but you're being a doer of the word, that you're not one of those, as Brennan Manning had said, as soon as you walk out of the church doors, you begin to have a lifestyle that is not pleasing to God. No, he's saying as soon as you are converted, then strengthen your brethren. You know, Jesus knew the heart of Peter. Jesus knew that Peter was very vulnerable. And guess what? He knows that we're very vulnerable as well. Jesus knew that as soon as he was going to face his accusers, Jesus knew that as soon as he would be, Judas would give him that kiss and it was of betrayal. He knew as soon as he was nailed to the cross and the thorns that were several inches long were crushed upon his head. He knew all that Peter would deny his best friend, his Savior, his Lord. Now think about the strength of Peter. And we shouldn't compare ourselves to anyone out of the Bible, but it's easy for us to look inward and say, man, do I have that kind of faith and belief that my lifestyle will line up according to what God says it should? Let me tell you, your theology is what you are when the talking stops and the action starts. We have a lot of people that's talking, but we see a little walking. And boy, God is really speaking to us right now. And so I look in the book of James, James chapter 3. And you think this is tough now, but let's read what James has to say about this. And verse 5, it'll be on your screen. He says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire. Everybody say fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts its great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defies the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. Verse 7 says, for every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed to mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father. Therewith we curse we men, which are made after the similitude or the likenesses of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Does a fountain send forth as the same place sweet and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt and fresh? So that tells us right there, we are all susceptible to either producing good fruit or bad fruit. Sweet water or bitter. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, which one are you? Are you the good fruit? Are you fruity? Or are you the bad fruit? I already know the answer to some of you. So don't shake your head no, Pastor Carl. What about sweet water, bitter water? You know, and I look at this, and as soon as we walk, our lifestyle is not lining up to it. No wonder people don't trust the Christian. No wonder people say there are so many, the house is full of hypocrites. It's easy for the outsider to be critical and to judge our character. But listen, I'm not perfect. You're not perfect, but we serve a perfect God, that through His grace and mercy, we can become and strive for perfection. So this brings me to my life point. Here's my life point. You want to write this down. The right words without the right lifestyle will send the wrong message. The right words without the right lifestyle will send the wrong message. So what message am I sending? If I'm the only Bible that some people see, you know, Levi's walking around in A-State and only people see him in his law clubs and everywhere he goes, and they see that he's an amazing young man of God. And he sees that, he realizes that, hey, I've got to live a life that is pleasing before God because people are watching my life. They go to the Bible bookstore and Sister Wallen's there, and who's a wonderful, wonderful, mighty woman of God. Kind, sweet, right? And they see her, and their customers or their people that come in and they want to purchase things, and she prays with them and she talks to them about God. And so you see how it is so important in the public arena that we keep our lifestyle pure before God. But all it takes, it's amazing, Sister Rhonda, people don't really care about the good things you do, but you do one bad thing, that's all they remember. They remember a youth pastor mad at the pastor, and he kicks the wall, and that's all they remember. Oh, I'm never coming back to that church. All he wants to do is be angry. The devil is a liar, because there's something called grace and mercy. Our God, Hebrews 12 and 29 says, for our God is a consuming fire. Consuming fire. The right words without the right lifestyle will send the wrong message. I want you to think about the fires. When we think of God, Holy Ghost and fire. I was talking to a pastor yesterday, and I was saying to him, we were sitting at the table, and I was saying to him, I said, hey, before I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I was shy, I was backward, I was conceited, I thought I knew it. But as soon as I got baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire with the evidence of speaking tongues, all that got burned out of my life. I was a new creature. I was what the Bible calls born again. So 1 Peter 4 and 12 says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the what? Concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Remember, Our God is a consuming fire. And if He's such a consuming fire, if He is that burning bush speaking to Moshe, to Moses, and He's telling Moses, the ground you're on, take your sandals off because this is holy ground. And he's a consuming fire, but that bush is not being consumed, but it's just burning. Don't you know today that God has enough fire agent in Him that when you're going through the test, that He tells you, don't think it strange. Don't think it outre. Don't think it bizarre. Don't think it unusual. Because He has enough fire to burn out the dross, perhaps, that is in your life, to make you who He wants you to become. So there's three things then that are subjected to the consuming fire of God. And there's several things, but I have a list of only three. Three things that I want to share with you subjected to God's consuming fire. Number one, our faith. Everybody say our faith. Remember, we're talking about believing. Is there anything that you just can't believe? You find very difficult to believing? Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. He says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if you need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And that basically means a lot of tests. Verse 7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So that's why we face these trials. That's why our faith is under fire. That's why we're facing, God's a consuming fire, and that's why we're facing so many things. And we think, why do I go from one storm for another storm? We look at what's going on in our communities. We look at what's happening in our lives and everywhere that's going on. And we think, how can this happen? How can this be? But God says, think it not strange. Your faith will be tested. You're going to go through these fires. There's going to be different ones, many that's happening. But I'm testing you. I'm trying you. Because when I'm tried and you're tested and you come out, you will be found of praise and honor and a glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Is not that what it's about? Isn't it about? It's not about building our big church. It's not about having the wrong motives and all the wrong intentions. It's about getting to heaven, to get to the place that God sent His Son so we may be there together and forever serving the Lord. That's what it's about. But we make it about so many other things, don't we? Number two, and by the way, when you feel the heat, don't forget about Jesus as the fourth man in our fire. Amen? You're not alone. When your faith is under fire, you're not alone. He's with you every step of the way. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Thank God, if God be for us, who's going to be against us? He says, no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against us, He shall condemn. Greater is He that's in me than he that is in the world. Thank God for that. Number two, our character. Everybody shout our character. Isaiah 48 and verse 10 says, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen, look what it says, thee in the furnace of affliction. How many like affliction? Not a person in this room. But you know the word tells us many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. Our character is subjected to the consuming fire of God. Whether we believe this or not, are you ready for this? No. Whether we believe this or not, you may not be. There are some things that need to be burned off of our lives. Is that okay? Do you know anybody in this room, there's things in their life that need to be burned off? Point at them right now. Just kidding. I was listening to Pastor Tim DeLena, and he was talking about a message that Adrian Rogers, one of the greatest pastors, speakers in our modern era, he was speaking, and Adrian Rogers got up behind the pulpit one day in that beautiful, beautiful Bellevue church, and Pastor Adrian stood before them, and he said, folks, I've got to share something with you. There's a person in our church that has been causing a lot of problems. this person's been causing a lot of problems to me. It seems like I can't get away from it. I've talked to this person. I've asked counsel. You know, it seems like every Sunday, every Wednesday, every time we're together, this person is causing so many problems. And he said, I just wanted to share this with you. He said, in fact, I want to tell you who this person is. And that whole hundreds and hundreds of people in that congregation became silent. He says, I'm going to reveal to you who this person is that's coming to our church, that's in our meetings, that comes almost all services, that is causing problems. He said, that person is Adrian Rogers, is himself. And so, really, maybe instead of, as my grandma Brown, Brother Billy, would say, when you point one finger at somebody, you got how many fingers pointing back at you? Right? Maybe the problem is not the other person. Maybe the problem is you. Our character. Look at Colossians chapter 3. This is so good. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. This word mortify means put to death. Burn, put to death. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Look at verse 6. For which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. Remember, God is our God is a consuming fire. In verse 7, in the which we also walked some time when we lived in them, but now you also put off these. Are you ready? Someone say, I'm ready. He says, put off anger, wrath, malice. When you blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, lie not, it's tax season, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man. Now look what it says, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Jesus, after the image of him that created him. This is beautiful to think of. How God is our consuming fire. You know, those that work with precious metals, and I like to watch these television shows that deal with gold. And those who work with precious metals, whether it's silver or gold, I've learned they will not finish burning out the impurities until they can see the reflection of their own image. Isn't that what Jesus is doing? God is doing in our lives? He's burning out the dross, the impurities, until the reflection of Christ is seen in our lives. Our God is a consuming fire. Number three, the last one. Everybody say our work. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, it says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. That means made known. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. Our God is a consuming fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Look what it says. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You say, Pastor JC, I mean, wow. I mean, you're talking about here our faith and you're talking about our character. Now you're talking about our work? Absolutely. And it's not me talking, it's God talking. Because see, some of us may have good intentions, but some of us may not have the right intentions. Trying to build upon some other thing, some other incident, some other agenda or platform. The Greek word for work, and I love this because I looked it up and I wanted to see what the Koine Greek said. And this word for work is actually the word energeiro. And you can look at it and you can think, well, maybe we get the word energy. Actually, we do. We get this English word energy from this word. And this is what energeiro means. It means to be active, to work effectively, and be efficient. Our objective is to be effective. And so I have to look at my life and I say, the pastoral vocation that God has called, he says, let my calling and election be made sure, be strong in the word and strong in God and the Spirit of the Lord, and make sure that, you know, things are right. And I have to do that every day. Take inventory of my life and examine and say, God, is this bringing you glory, or am I trying to build up something else? Because see what happens, then the fire comes, which I will tell you, the fire in Pastor J.C., John Kerry Seward, Sand Hill Coals of Fire, that's my Indian last name, real last name fire. The fire has come to the Seward home many, many, many times. And I have been tested many, many, many times over and over again. But I have to know that if my work is not pleasing to God, at least this truth is that I may suffer loss, but I also will be saved, yet so as by fire. Thank God for His grace and His mercy. Our objective is to be effective. So how do I apply this to my life? So what, now what? How do I go from auditing this message to applying it? How do I go from description to prescription? How can I make this message consuming fire? So how do I make it count for life? Well, our scripture for our God is a consuming fire, and our life point is the right words without the right lifestyle will send the wrong message, right? I believe this. I believe the best way to make true and pure application of this message, are you ready for this? Is to be full of the fire of God through the Holy Spirit. Someone wants to know, Brother Vernon, someone wants to know where we're headed as a church. That's where we're headed. To be full. We talked about fresh oil. If you missed last Sunday morning service, you missed a powerful word. Fresh oil. God is calling us to fresh. He's telling us to fill our horn with oil. Get fresh oil. But no, He's also telling us, start getting full of the fire of the Holy Ghost. Someone says, well, do you need the Holy Ghost to get to heaven? No. But you need the Holy Ghost to get down to Walmart. You need the Holy Ghost to drive up and down Lily. Talking to a preacher the other day about how the new gangs, they call themselves Lily, they call themselves Lake, they call themselves Wall, right? They're calling themselves all this stuff. Listen, we need to be full of the Holy Ghost every day of our lives. I love what Sister Sandy said one time. I was a youth pastor. I was playing a little piano up there, and Sister Sandy walking back and forth, and we had great revival. And I'll never forget what she said. She said, if you are not where you were last year in God, you have backslidden. I said, oh my Lord. Man, I want to be so full of the fire of the Holy Spirit. So full of the fire of the Holy Ghost. The fire of God, and this is something that you need to realize. The fire of God should burn hotter than the fiery trials that you're facing. The fire of God should burn. You know, have you heard that story, that phrase, the expression, fight fire with fire? How about we start fighting fire with the true fire of God? Instead of using that little tongue that sets the world on fire, it's a little member, and you can use bridles to guide the horse. You can use a helm to guide the big ships. But that little tongue, it sets the world on fire. It causes misunderstanding. It causes separation. It causes discord among the brethren, which is an abomination unto God. Just watch your mouth. Just sweet potato pie and shut your mouth and start speaking in the language of God and saying, I'm going to fight fire. They're going to talk about you. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to lie about you. All that's going to happen because Jesus already said, but know this today, do not give place to the devil. Submit yourself unto God and resist the devil and he shall flee. It's stand up and say, God, send a fire tornado in our lives to burn out the things that don't belong there. Can somebody shout hallelujah? I love what Matthew chapter 3 verse 11 says. John the Baptist says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. Look what he says. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. God, burn in me. I want us to stand in this room right now. Our musicians are coming. God, burn. Burn, Holy Spirit. Burn impure thoughts, words, habits that are not pleasing before God. Burn gossip, whatever it may be, sin, anger, racism, whatever, unforgiveness. Burn, Father. Holy Spirit, burn within us. The Holy Ghost, burn within us. Father, in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, you are a consuming fire. Burn in me, Father. Burn in me, God. Holy Spirit, burn in me. Thank you, Father. Thank you, goodness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. When we walk out of this room, Father, when we walk out through these doors, we are not going to be an excuse anymore. We're not going to be the problem. We're going to be the solution. People are going to see us in a different light because we've made our mind up. We are true to what we believe. We are true to who we believe. We are challenged today, Father, to walk in peace, to walk in love, to give hope, to walk in joy and spread joy, to walk in faith, to spread faith.
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.